Accession number 27350, reel 4.
Reel 4.
Anyway, where are we?
Well, you were saying about having your wound dressed. What actually happened when you got to Pegasus Bridge? Were you?
Oh yes. I went to the Canadians where we had my arm dressed, because we went into a farmhouse where we told the people we wouldn't go into the house, and if the Germans get and find out we'd have been in that house, they'd have shot the lot of them. So we went into the farm buildings and we had our K rations, which we carry with us, and they dressed my arm. It wasn't very good dressing, the reason being it was all wet, you understand, all the dressings were wet through, so they only put wet dressing on it for me. But they put it on.
What kind of use did you have of your arm at that time?
Not much at all, really, because it wasn't the bones broken, but it was the severed the nerves, all the nerves. The bloody fingers went all ways.
And were you evacuated from there?
Yeah, no, not from there, no. We got back to Pegasus Bridge, and the company had then just moved out to a place called Ramville. Now, that's where battalion headquarters were. Now, Pridey took us into Ramville and reported to the colonel there. And John Howard happened to be there. And John Howard was pleased as hell to see us. He said, "Oh, now I've got three officers," where he only had one officer left. And corporals were taking over the platoons because most of the sergeants were wounded. And he said, "Now I've got three officers left, I can make three platoons up instead of four." And that's what he done. He's made up four platoons. From there, I went into the first aid, where I was then transported back to England.
Well, I take it you were pleased at that time to hear that the actual invasion had occurred during the night as well.
We was very pleased that they'd taken the bridges all right, you know.
Could you hear the bombardment from the warships in the morning?
Terrible. We weren't only listening to the bombers coming over, bombing. The shells were coming over our bloody heads and whizzing over our heads. We wondered when they was going to bloody hit us from the boats, you know. Big shells. The ground shook, as I told you before. The ground really did shake.
And you were evacuated how?
By boat. Yeah, I went back to England.
And where were you treated for your injury?
Where was I treated? Oh, up north, Wigan way. Yeah, Wigan. I was treated Wigan. Then I went somewhere else. I forget the name of bloody places. I forget. Anyway, I went for a convalescent. Then I went back to the battalion.
Where were the battalion when you joined them?
They had come back to England. I got there just before they got back. And the colonel then had a reshuffle of the battalion. All the officers, what were left, some were drifting, some of the troops were drifting back. We come back, when Howard got back into England, he had 40 men left, Howard, 181 of us, who was not wounded. Others come back, obviously, had been wounded, had been evacuated, and he picked up a company, but had to have reinforcements, obviously. From there, we was John Howard, you know, all the officers got back, you know, some of them didn't because they were so badly wounded. I don't think Smith got back. I think because he had all his arm tore away of a bomb. Anyway, from there, as I said, he was shuffled to battalion, because Colonel Doyle Brown took over the battalion then. I don't know what happened to Riley. His name was, I forget the name, Riley, I think it was, something like that. He had left the battalion. Doyle Brown took over and he reshuffled. And officers took different jobs. I was given a different job. I was platoon sergeant at the time when I got back, but I was then made provost sergeant. Now, do you know what a provost sergeant is? The bastard sergeant of the regiment.
So what would your role be then?
My role was the discipline of the regiment. That was my final role in England. Now, when my role in action is to take prisoners back to division headquarters for interrogation. Now, we'd done the Rhine crossing, and not the Rhine crossing, sorry, we went to the Ardennes first. We went over by boat. We didn't fly over, because it was, the ground was all snow. You couldn't land troops or anything like that by glider or parachute. So we had to go over by boat. The division went over by boat when the Yankees let the Germans infiltrate through their lines at the Ardennes dressed as American soldiers. I don't know if you knew that story. And we had to go and hold the river, one side of the River Mur, where the German had the paras at the other side. We the two paras and gliders one side and German paras and the gliders the other side. And we held that. But we didn't see a lot of fighting. There's only patrols taking place. You know, a friend of mine, Corporal Godbold, he got captured on a pole, on a what's the name? He was in my platoon at the time, but he was made up sergeant to take over the platoon with a Canadian called Bodenhat his name was. He was a Canadian, and they got captured because they went over on this patrol and got captured.
Were you a provost sergeant at that time? No,
I was provost sergeant at the time, and the weather was so bad, as I told you, it was the coldest winter I can ever experience, and the Germans were giving themselves up in hundreds. And I had to take them back to Divi headquarters. I used to load them into trucks to get them back. And the officers, I never let the officers mingle with the men. That was a dangerous thing. You always kept officers separate. Well, I had small jeeps and stuff like that to take the officers back, if there was any officers. I remember one, we had one. I was sat in the back of the jeep when they were taking these prisoners back. My other policemen in jeeps behind them, guarding the remainder so they didn't jump out of the trucks. And this little officer kept on and on and on. He was a real young Nazi. He kept on. He was going to win the war. He was going to win the war and all this. And I had to hit him in the back of the head with my Sten gun to shut him up. And I did. I hit him bloody hard. And that shut him up. But I had to take him back to Wasserman. But that was an easy job. The Ardennes was quite an easy job. But the main job then was, when we come back from the Ardennes, we trained to do the Rhine crossing.
Before that, you said the Germans were giving up in quite large numbers in the Ardennes. What was their kind of attitude, apart from the Nazis?
They was frozen death. They was freezing. You know, they was giving themselves up. Of course, it was so cold. And they hadn't got the underwear like we got on.
And how did you think they thought they were going to be treated? Did they think they were going to be badly treated by the British?
I don't think the Germans didn't think that at all. It was all because they had reports that we were pretty fair men.
So you came back to the UK to start training for the Rhine crossing?
Crossing then, yeah.
And what did that training consist of at that
Well,
stage?
I was only a provost sergeant. I had a different job. I didn't have any training at all, really. I only look after the discipline of the regiment. My job is to, as you can say, you know.
So in a sense, you would just carry on. You would just go with the troops at that time, would you, rather than train specifically for a task?
Yeah, yeah. Then my job then was the Rhine crossing over the river, over the bus end. But I never told you what happened at the bridges. Well, I forgot this, but if you want to listen to it. Now, Wagger Thornton, you've heard about him? Have you heard Wagon? You've got that. Where he took the pilot and got to the road junction and blew up the tank, which gave the 7th Para Pine Coffins lot an idea where we were. They doubled at the, what's the name? But we know all that then, so no need to tell you that. Also, Godbeld hit a gunboat coming up the Orne. Did you heard about that?
That's all in the record. Heard lots about that, yes.
You got that?
Yeah.
We gobbled it. That's okay. Right, now, we come back to England, trained for a long-distance flight, actually, because we're going over into Germany.
Did you have an idea that it was going to be the Rhine crossing that you were involved in at that stage?
Course, we knew I had a good idea. Of course, we trained for long-distance flying.
And what did that entail, the long-distance flying training?
Flying around bloody England about a couple of times, you know. Because we knew we were going further over into France. Anyway, from there, we landed on the place called Hemelkern over the Rhine. Now, when we landed there, as I told you about the ammunition in the Bosman, we were shot out the sky. Absolutely shot out the sky. In fact, I didn't see many of it, but I had to bury the dead. I buried the dead. They said there were some of the chaps thrown out the gliders on fire, you know, as it was up in the air. But I had to go back and bury the dead. I buried 150 of my own men. There were 300 wounded. That was just on the landing alone. Out 614 of us dropping. That's over 80% of casualties on the drop alone. I buried three boys from Aylesbury. I'd never tell them people how I found them people, their sons or wives. Because that was terrible. Well, when I tell you that, I'd rather been in the line than bury the dead. Because that was an horrible job. I used to have to take the identification disc off of them and take the personal effects off of them, note it all down, and give it to the padre to take to the next of kin's when they get back to England.
In your flight across, who was in your glider for that one?
Just a couple of my policemen. I can't forget the names now. And a signal officer was a signal sergeant was sat opposite me. I've told you about the shrapnel we hit. I see him go green. He got a piece of shrapnel straight through and killed him. And that fell in front of me. I was opposite him, about as far as where I am from you now. And he was killed with a shrapnel hitting the glider.
Who was firing at you, and what weapons were they using against the gliders?
What was ACAC. Because we landed on the railway station at Hemelkern, and there was ACAC guns on the railway trucks.
And your work with dealing with the dead, did you have a battalion padre to help with that sort of thing?
Oh yeah, padre helped with burying the dead. I know, but when I buried the dead, I sent me up with about 8 blokes to dig the graves. But I sent them back because I relieved a labour camp where there was poles, all sorts in there. And I asked them if they'd come and bury the dead for me if I fed them. I fed them out of the stuff I got out of the gliders. More or less emergency rations, which was a high chocolate stuff, you know, it's high vitamin stuff. And I used to feed them, and they dug the graves for us. And there was snipers in a wood opposite where they was digging, and they was firing at these boys. They never hit any of them, but I went over this patrol to see if I could find them blokes who was firing at them. I found two elderly German soldiers firing at them up in a tree. So I got them down. I didn't kill them. got them down, sent them back to Rotherham. I had a little Corgi motorbike, what we had in the gliders. I used to ride that, and I got that bugger, and I got my Sten gun on the end and the front, and I run them bastards all the way back to the Divvy headquarters for interrogation. They kept stopping. They said, "There are the stars. Yeah, boom, boom, get going." And I pushed them back. I pushed them back to the bus, mate. On the way back, funny enough, I see Northumberland anti-tank battalion was stationed there. I knew my brother-in-law was in that, so I went across these bloody fields to see if I could find him. I said, "I found him picking a bloody chicken." We had a reunion for a little while, and I went back to join these boys digging again. They made a beautiful job of the graveyard, and the part of the party was there. He said it's a marvellous job they'd done of that, and the war commission's come around to the padre. I said, "We think we'll leave this graveyard." He said, "Such a good..." They put a cross up and everything, a wooden cross. Done it beautiful. And, you know, the distance of the... all the line, in line, the graves, you know, all done by... I didn't do it. They done it. They made a marvellous job of it.
Was your other role then... did you spend the rest of the time rounding up German prisoners over that period?
Yeah, yeah. And the same, I was taking prisoners back to TV headquarters. Then we got place where the battalion got to... Wismar, which is on the Baltic coast. They advanced too far because the generals, like the Churchill and all that lot, already scoured out the areas which different countries will control in Germany and France, you know.
How did you advance in that period from the Rhine up to Wismar?
Very, very quick. The advance was very quick, about 30 miles a day.
Were you travelling in lorries or...?
Yeah, I was in vehicles most of the time. The Germans were giving themselves up.
Was there any opposition at all, really?
No, not a lot of opposition at all. Not from there on. They just gave themselves up. Tanks and everything gave themselves up.
A couple of things I'd like to ask you. You know, when you were a provost sergeant...
Yeah.
How much do your boxing skills help with that job?
That's what they made me provost sergeant.
Is it the threat of the fact that you knew what to do, or is it the fact that you sometimes had to use your...
I didn't use my strength on blokes, no. Of course, I mean, I always remember blokes saying to me, even when I go on reunions now, he said, "You know what?" He said, "I was bloody frightened to death of you." Bloke called Nobby Clark. You haven't been to see him yet, have you? He tell you, he's frightened to death of me, he was.
Tell me about this Corgi motorcycle you have. Just give me a description of it.
It's only a little bike. How can I explain it? Well, it's a whole bike. It don't fold up or nothing like that. Like the bicycles. The bicycles all fold up into a little parcel sort of thing. But these don't, these little Corgis. They're only a very small bike, little wheels. And, yeah.
Did you find it useful?
Oh, very useful, yeah. Especially when I'm taking prisoners back, a couple back at a time. You couldn't use it when you got... because you're loading blokes on... You're searching them, then shoving them into a lorry.
Actually, can I ask about that? When you would search a prisoner,
What
would you be looking for?
Anything bulky. You know, you go down them. If anything bulky, you know, like a knife or something, you just make them take it out.
And would you be checking for any maps or documents, that type of thing?
Not that sort of thing, no. They do that at Rotherham. All you're worried about is grenades and whatever they might be carrying.
So your initial search is for weapons, really?
For weapons, more than anything. See, they'd do that at Divvy headquarters, where it'd be more useful. wouldn't be no use to me to have them. Where Divier quarters van, they've probably got some idea of what they're carrying them for.
So how did you feel when the war came to an end?
All right. It was very good, you know. There was a place called Black Clinton. But our job was to stop the boys from fraternising. Which is very hard when they've been in battle for a little while.
What type of attitude did you take to that role?
I just ignored it. Bloody hell, they've been fighting for bloody months, and why shouldn't they have a little bit of bloody pleasure?
Were you glad, though, that the war had come to an end?
Oh, yeah. Everybody was.
And was there a prospect that you might have to go to, say, Japan or something like that at the time?
Yeah, I forget what happened now, but we got back to England, and then they pushed me to another battalion. Because all the people on 26th Group, that was for DMOB Group, had to stay in England. The remainder of the boys under that age was planned to go to do the invasion of Japan. Obviously, before they got to that stage, the war ended, so they pushed them to Palestine. The regiment went to Palestine.
And you were in 26th Group, so at that stage you didn't think of staying on in the army?
No. I was married. When I got home from France, Germany, I phoned my dad up and I said, "Hey, Joan." He says, "All right, and the baby's all right." I says, "Had the baby, yeah." I was quite happy.
So what did you have to do?
So I could put in for compassionate leave, go and see my wife in hospital with the baby, and that was it.
So what was the process of demobilisation? What did you have to do to get out of the army?
Nothing really, just they sent me to Northampton. We went to Northampton and suited us and put us up with civvy clothes. I had a grey suit and, you know, all different clothes, trilby, bloody lot like that. Yeah.
Just really one last question. How do you feel now about having served with the Oxen Bucks during the
Second
War?
Great, I feel it's a great honour to serve with such a battalion and such a company. I'm very proud of what I've done for the company, because it was a good battalion.
Thank you very much.